Go ahead and follow along as I read. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of Yahweh is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the mouth of perverted words I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, might is mine. By me kings reign and rulers mark out righteousness. By me princes rule and nobles, all who judge rightly. I love those who love me, and those who earnestly seek me will find me. Riches and glory are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than fine gold, even pure gold, and my produce better than choice silver. I walk in the path of righteousness, in the midst of the pathways of justice, to give those who love me an inheritance of wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. John Bunyan's allegory, The Pilgrim's Progress, the pilgrim Christian, traveling under the darkness of night, lifted up his eyes, and he saw a majestic palace called Beautiful. Desiring lodging, he ran to the palace. Yet as he entered the door to its entrance, to his fright, he saw two lions. As he was about to turn back, the doorkeeper to the palace cried out, "Is your strength so small? Don't fear the lions, for they are chained. They are there to test the faith of travelers. Keep in the middle of the path, and you shall not be hurt." In spite of Christian's fear, he believed the doorkeeper, and he trembled forward, safely arriving to the gate at the Palace Beautiful. Before letting Christian in, the doorkeeper, watchful, called for a solemn, beautiful lady by the name of Discretion. And she was to question the weary traveler. She asked him a host of questions: where he came from and where he was going, how he got onto the path, what he saw and met along the way, and finally, what his name was. And after answering her questions, he was introduced to her sisters, Prudence, Piety, and Charity. All four of them welcomed him into the family, and that night he enjoyed supper with them and received needed rest for his body. Proverbs 8, 12 through 21, Lady Wisdom introduces us to her and her sister's majestical estate, the wonderful mansion and grounds where she resides. So in this passage, we're going to learn of, number one, the ladies of the estate in verse 12. Number two, the rule of the estate in verse 13. Number three, the possessions of the estate in verse 14. Number four, the guests of the estate in verses 15 to 17. And fifthly, the gifts of the estate, verses 18 to 21. The ladies of the estate, verse 12. The rule of the estate, verse 13. The possessions of the estate, verse 14. The guests of the estate. And number five, the gifts of the estate, verses 18 to 21. And to find where Lady Wisdom dwells, you must love and earnestly seek her by walking in righteousness and justice. So let's begin with number one, the ladies of the estate. Verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. So the first damsel of the estate that we meet is Lady Wisdom. And her name, the Hebrew word chokmah, according to Proverbs commentator Bruce Waltke, means masterful understanding, skill, expertise. And a master, skilled worker, expert, not only possesses a wealth of knowledge on their preferred subject, but they take what they know to be true, and they apply it, and they put it into practice. So for example, a surgeon not only knows how to perform surgery, but he takes the knowledge he learned in medical school, and he applies it by making successful incisions and cuts on and in the body. And in the second part of verse 12, it says that I, Lady Wisdom, find knowledge. The Hebrew word for the verb find here is in the imperfect tense. And in the imperfect tense of a verb is a repeated action happening in the past. So better translated, it would read something along the lines like, I was finding knowledge. And in Proverbs 1:7, Solomon writes, "The fear of Yahweh, the fear of the Lord," Yahweh is the name of God, "is the beginning of knowledge." According to Solomon, the most vital, most important thing to gaining knowledge is fearing God. And this knowledge is not just a mere mental affirmation in your head of facts, but it's internalizing. It's believing what you know to be true. And if you know who God is, and subsequently who you are in relation to God, internalizing, believing that to be true, you cannot help but act on it. And as the passage states, Lady Wisdom was finding knowledge. She was discovering truth. And upon discovering it, upon finding it, she acted upon it, as her name suggests. It also says that she was finding discretion. Now, discretion, according to Michael Fox, is private, unrevealed thinking and the faculty for it. So Lady Wisdom was finding. She was seeking out private thinking that plans for the future. And these private, unrevealed plans Lady Wisdom was finding are to keep men from morally foolish actions. So in summation, what we know about Lady Wisdom is that she's a skilled master who internalizes and applies what she knows. She's a repository, a storehouse of all knowledge and discretion. She knows what is true, and from what she knows, she plans a man's preservation from foolishness. Lady Wisdom lives with her sister Prudence, and she is the second damsel of the estate. Lady Prudence is a cunning and clever woman. Like her sister, Wisdom, she acts in light of what she knows. She acts with knowledge. And as a cunning woman, she acts with discretion, planning how to shrewdly apply biblical knowledge in a manner that fears the Lord. Now, both Lady Wisdom and Lady Prudence dwell on this estate. They do not own the estate, however. They are ladies of the Lord of the estate. They are attributes of God. They characterize who he is. So attributes characterize who God is. God is a God of wisdom. He is a God of prudence. Now, wisdom is not God. Prudence is not God. God is God, and he is a wise God. He's a prudent God. He's a loving God, a just God, and the list goes on. In Bunyan's analogy, only true servants of the king were allowed lodging in the Palace Beautiful. And in our passage, those welcome to dwell with wisdom and prudence must be governed by the fear of the Lord and hate evil. Which brings us to our second point. Number two, the rule of the estate, in verse 13. The fear of Yahweh is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the mouth of perverted words I hate. The most vital thing to gaining knowledge is fearing Yahweh, is fearing God. You cannot dwell with those, you cannot dwell with Lady Wisdom and Lady Prudence. You cannot dwell with those who find knowledge if you spurn the most important thing to gaining it, the fear of the Lord. And to fear the Lord, to fear Yahweh, is to hate evil. If you're living in the fear of God, you'll not think, act, or do things that you know would offend a holy God. In fact, you'll do the exact opposite. You'll hate what he hates and love what he loves. God hates those who break his law, but he loves those who keep his commandments. And the rule of the Lord's estate is clear. No one is welcome to dwell with wisdom and prudence. No one is welcome to dwell with Lady Wisdom and Lady Prudence if they do not hate evil. And elaborating on the rule, Lady Wisdom designates four sins which she detests. She detests pride, arrogance, the evil way, and a perverted mouth. She begins with pride and arrogance. The Hebrew word for pride and arrogance actually relates to height. It's the idea of becoming greater or taller in your own mind than others. In Romans 12:3, the Apostle Paul warns others not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. Kind of like this. It's like a high school cheerleader who treats all the other girls around her really poorly. But when speaking with the star quarterback who she has a big crush on, she suddenly changes, acting sweet and kind. You know what's interesting? I've done the exact same thing. I never was a cheerleader, so you don't need to worry about that. But when I was younger, when with my family, I would treat them poorly, thinking myself to be higher than them. But when around people that I respected, like my friends, then, you know, I would treat them well. And I would consider myself to be lower than them. And I find it very interesting that it's in terms of height, right? We look at ourselves highly and look upon others lowly. God hates pride. God hates arrogance. But I want you to consider why Lady Wisdom hates pride and arrogance. She's a repository. She's a storehouse of knowledge and discretion. What do you think Lady Wisdom would think of a know-it-all who is not willing to submit to the counsel that she's going to impart? It also tells us here that Lady Wisdom hates the evil way. She hates the lifestyle of those who are characterized by doing the things that God hates, by doing the things that dishonor the Lord of the estate. Jesus, as a young boy, as it says in Luke 2:52, advanced, grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You can't grow, you can't advance in wisdom if you're living in disobedience to God. And then it also tells us here, a perverted mouth. A perverted mouth twists that which is good and true. It takes words of knowledge and it flips them on their head. So how can a man dwell with wisdom if he takes what she seeks and corrupts them? If he takes what she finds, she loves and corrupts and perverts them. But in contrast to what Lady Wisdom hates, what she does is she then displays her prized possessions. And that gets us to number three, the possessions of the estate. In verse 14, it says, "Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Might is mine." Verse 14, she lists three of her prized possessions: counsel, sound wisdom, and might. Kings and rulers, princes and nobles from all around seek the possessions of this fair maiden. And these possessions are owned by the Lord of the land. In Job 12:13, it says, "With him," that's talking about God, "with God are wisdom and might. To him, to God, belong counsel and discernment." Wisdom freely gives counsel and sound wisdom, which the Lord of the land has stored up. But pausing her list of possessions, Lady Wisdom then goes and affirms her very nature. She says, "I am understanding. If you take my counsel, if you receive my sound wisdom, I will give you understanding to grasp the heights of what I'm saying. And I'll give you the might to accomplish it." In the Word of God, we hear the counsel and sound wisdom of the Lord. It's through the Holy Spirit granting us understanding that we can internalize the counsel. And it's through his might that we can act upon it. So after displaying her goods, after displaying her prized possessions, we meet number four, the guests of the estate. In verses 15 to 17, "By me kings reign and rulers mark out righteousness. By me princes rule and nobles, all who judge rightly." Rulers who fear the Lord come from near and far to visit the fair Lady Wisdom. They come to receive her possessions, to receive her counsel, sound wisdom, and might, as well as lay hold of her very nature, understanding. I wonder if Solomon, when writing this, thought back to the Queen of Sheba's visit. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings 10:1-9. 1 Kings 10:1-9. This tells us about the visit of the Queen of Sheba. "Now when the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with difficult questions. So she came to Jerusalem with a very large retinue, with camels carrying spices, and very much gold and precious stones. When she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was hidden from the king which he did not explain to her. When the Queen of Sheba perceived all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his servants, the attendance of his waiters in their attire, his cupbearers, and his stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, 'It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe the reports until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. You exceed in wisdom and prosperity the report which I heard. How blessed are your men, how blessed are these your servants, who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness. Verses 15 to 16 of Proverbs 8. By Lady Wisdom, rulers mark out, rulers decree righteousness, and governmental leaders judge rightly. And what does it say that the Queen of Sheba said in verse 9? That God made Solomon king. To do what? To do justice and righteousness. By grasping Lady Wisdom's good counsel and sound wisdom, by embracing her understanding, and by applying through her might her counsel, kings and rulers, princes and nobles, and all who govern will do so justly and rightly. When we read the first lines of verses 15 and 16, that kings reign and princes and nobles rule by wisdom, you may think that that doesn't sound right. Does this include bad kings? Do they reign by wisdom? Well, of course not. In fact, this all goes back to the prepositional phrase, by her, by Lady Wisdom. Can a bad king reign by wisdom? No. Wisdom requires the fear of the Lord and the hatred of evil. How can a bad king reign by wisdom if he loves evil and does not fear the Lord? This is not a universal claim that's being made here. Not all leaders reign by wisdom, but all good leaders do. And after recounting previous guests, Lady Wisdom, that is, she is hosted to her beautiful estate, she now sends out invitations to those who are welcome to join her company. And this is what the invitation says. Verse 17, I love those who love me, and those who earnestly seek me will find me. Only lovers of Lady Wisdom are welcome. In fact, only lovers who earnestly seek her, they're the ones who will find her. This short invitation is the main point of this passage. True guests love her to the point of seeking wisdom out. Just like Lady Wisdom was finding knowledge and discretion in verse 12b, so are we to seek out Lady Wisdom to find her. And while Lady Wisdom is simply a personification of an attribute of God, his wisdom, in 1 Corinthians 1:24, the Apostle Paul writes this, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. What do you guys think about this? Jesus Christ is the visible manifestation of God the Father's wisdom. And for those of us that love Christ, and those that seek for Christ will find him. But we could not seek for Christ if it wasn't God who first sought us. As it says in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. And for those that find Lady Wisdom, those that seek Lady Wisdom out, she gives freely. And this gets us to our fifth point, the gifts of the estate in verses 18 to 21. Riches and glory are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. Lady Wisdom, there are riches and glory, wealth that lasts, and righteousness. And these material blessings are conferred on those who find wisdom. For believers, we inherit riches in Christ. We inherit wealth that lasts. In Matthew 6:19-21, what does Jesus say? He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And in terms of glory, when we believers pass on from this world to the next, we'll become glorious. In the order of salvation in Romans 8:29-30, it says this, that those whom God justifies, he glorifies, will be glorified in heaven because of Christ's atoning work on the cross, because Christ paid the punishment that we deserve. Finally, in terms of righteousness, according to David Hubber in the Preacher's Commentary on Proverbs, he writes that righteousness here means victorious success based on maintaining right relations with God and his people. In heaven, the believer will be free from sin, sin that separates man from God, and will instead be in perfect fellowship with him. In fact, the blessings of Lady Wisdom cannot be compared. In verse 19, it says, "My fruit is better than fine gold, even pure gold, and my produce better than choice silver." After showing you what's in her left hand, right? It says in Proverbs 3:16b, in her left hand, in Lady Wisdom's left hand are riches and glory. Lady Wisdom walks through her lovely garden, walks through the lovely garden of her estate. The purest gold and choicest silver look dingy and dim in comparison to her otherworldly fruit. In essence, the gifts of wisdom are invaluable. But how can we find Lady Wisdom? It tells us in verses 20 to 21. Tells us where she is. "I walk in the path of righteousness, in the midst of the pathways of justice, to give those who love me an inheritance of wealth, that I may fill their treasuries." Directions to Lady Wisdom's estate is on the path of righteousness and in the middle of the path of justice. Those that walk in righteousness establish good order, as Walkey says, and those that walk in the path of justice restore right order. The concern of a good ruler is to establish and to restore right order when it's been disrupted. And it's interesting to me that Lady Wisdom walks right in the middle of the path of justice. She does not lean to one side or another, but she stands fast on the truth and walks straight in the middle. For those that follow her footsteps, those who love her, they'll be given an inheritance of wealth that will abundantly fill their treasuries. That's in the plural. Abundantly fill their treasuries. So as believers in Christ, I want you to consider the great inheritance of believers. It says in Ephesians 1:7 to 8, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our transgressions according to the riches of his grace, which he caused to abound to us in all wisdom and insight." The riches that the believer has in Christ are of infinite worth in comparison to the measly valuables of this world. So is your treasury filled with the grace of God? If it's not, may today be the day of your salvation. May you repent, may you turn from your sins, and place your trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior. And in the wisdom of the Father, you will inherit Christ, who is of infinite worth. The fair ladies of Palace Beautiful cared for Christian. They showed him the rarities of the place, as well as read to him the great acts that the servants of the Lord of the land had done. It says in the book, as how they had subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And finally, before Christian left the fair ladies of Palace Beautiful, they gave him armor to fend off the attacks of the enemy, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and shoes of the gospel of peace that would not wear out. And so, when we talk about the most vital thing to gaining wisdom, it's the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord means that the believer will hate evil. He will love God and he will forsake the dingy, dim, foolish things of this world to pursue the glory of Christ. And that's the desire of the believer, to follow Christ in all that we do. And so, may we frequent the beautiful, majestical estate of Lady Wisdom, and not continue walking in the ways of foolish men. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is truth. We thank you, Father, that your word shows us wisdom, that your word gives wisdom. And we pray that we will apply this wisdom to our lives, that we will not walk foolishly. There are so many times in my life, Father, that I have walked foolishly, that I have not followed Jesus as I should. And so, Father, I ask forgiveness of those times. And I pray that it will continually be my desire and the desires of these youth to follow Jesus wholeheartedly, to hate sin, to grow in the fear of the Lord, and to hate evil. We ask this all in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.